Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up, what's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling Smith
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta. And we've got a great show this evening and the rest of this month. We're going to be talking about some Women's History Month, Women's International Day. But before we get into that, what's going on, Mr. Smith?
Oh, not much of anything as of late. Just chilling.
Okay, just chilling, chilling. Okay, well, that's okay. You chilling as long as you're chilling, and I'm good.
What's going on with you, Ms. Smith?
Hey, you know, work, busy, you know, into this, into that, doing this, doing that, working hard, making moves, trying to make a change and, you know, make a difference in people's lives. So
as long as you got it under control and you know what you're doing, keep handling your business.
Well, it's under control. So let's get on in the show today. So we're going to be talking about Women's History Month, the National Women's History Month. And we're going to be talking about Women's International Day. And we're going to be sharing some women in our lives that we want to honor as we kicking off this month, because we're going to have guests the rest of the month, different women in different sectors of the marketplace that, you know, have contributed, that continue to contribute, that have had an impact in people's day-to-day lives. And I'm excited about that. And so let me first, but I want to just share, like, a lot of people may not know what Women's History Month is. And so this year, the theme for Women's History Month is providing healing, promoting hope. Providing healing and promoting
interesting,
hope.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually this year's theme is a tribute to caregivers and frontline workers during the ongoing pandemic. And, you know, also still recognizing the thousands of ways that women of all cultures provide healing and hope and have done that throughout history. And so I've been really excited talking to some nurses, female nurses and doctors and frontline workers, and just kind of shouting them out and highlighting them on my social media pages. Because women, you know, hey, there's a song I like. It's called Put a Woman in Charge.
Okay.
Put a Woman in Charge.
Okay. I guess you like that song.
Yes. No, I love that song. It talks about put a woman in charge. And, you know, women are just phenomenal. They are multitaskers. They're caregivers. They're nurturers. They're providers. They're protectors. Women are just phenomenal. And, you know, lots of times the contributions that they've made to history have been overlooked.
Yes, you said a good point. They've been overlooked in society, overlooked for many, many years. And to this day, they're still overlooked.
Yeah, we could talk about equal work for equal pay. Women still don't make the same as their male counterparts, but yet they do the same work. They produce, you know, the same amount of product and again, produce the same, but get paid less. So we've come a long way, but we still have a ways to go. But I appreciate the fact that in our country that we take a whole month and we actually set aside to honor women and what women have contributed to the history of this country. And I think that's just great. And then we also celebrate something called International Women's Day. And International Women's Day not only celebrates women in the United States of America,
Worldwide.
It celebrates women worldwide. And this year's theme was breaking the bias. And so it talks about, you know, what if we lived in this world where, you know, it didn't matter your gender. It, you know, there were no gender biases, because there are a lot of gender biases. You know, sometimes people think women can't do things that a man can do. A woman's place is at home. And, you know, I have nothing against the traditional, you know, moms that, you know, stay at home and raise kids. I've done that periodically throughout our marriage. There's been seasons where, you know, I chose to stay home and, you know, be with the kids and take care of the home front while you were out working and not be in the marketplace.
But now in society, it's hard to exist like that with the rising cost of everything. You're going to have men and women in the job market.
Absolutely. And the point is that, you know, women should be paid equal pay for the same identical work that, you know, we do, that our male counterparts do.
Yes. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we're kicking off Women's History Month, and we're going to be talking to some very, very important women, prominent women, women in government, women in healthcare, women in education. So we have a great lineup. We've got some women, a particular woman coming on who marched with MLK. So I'm excited to bring these women on and just really let them share and drop the knowledge from their life experiences.
Yeah, share their story.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear their story.
And to how they got to where they are and what are they doing to keep promoting the woman's movement, the woman's right.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a city council member here in my city. For our listeners that may not know that, I'm an elected local official. And one of the women that I want to talk about and highlight, her name is Councilwoman Deborah Fisher, Dr. Deborah Fisher. And she is a United States Army veteran, retired master sergeant. She was a master fitness trainer. What, you know, in the military when you...
She's a PT stud.
Yeah, she was a PT stud.
A physical training stud.
Yeah, and she's still, I mean, she's almost 70 years old and she's still fit. She still does...
She does a lot of walking.
She does a lot of cardio.
Yes, and big-time cardio.
Yeah, and so she's really fit. But Dr. Deborah Fisher, Councilwoman Deborah Fisher, was the first Black... And the first Black, not only the first Black woman, but she was the first Black to be elected to the city council here in our city. And so I think that's just phenomenal. We wanted her on the show. She's a little podcast shy, so she didn't want her voice to be, she didn't want people to hear her voice. But she certainly gave me permission to, you know, talk about her and to share her story. And so she's a trailblazer. Yes. She broke that ceiling, that glass ceiling, for minorities.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. And for women, and for, you know, Black and brown people, she broke that glass ceiling. And, so, you know, it's an honor to know her, to serve alongside her. And we thank her for being the trailblazer that broke the ceiling. And so we hope that more women will run for local government, and more minorities, you know, will run for local government. I firmly believe that local government, or government at all levels, whether it's local, state, or national, I believe that the government should represent and look like the people that it represents. And so I'm thankful and grateful to be a part of our city council here in our city. And to be one of only two African Americans that sit in local government in our entire county.
Yes, y'all putting in the work.
Yeah. And so she's done great things. She was a champion for the $15 minimum wage increase for our city workers. She's been a champion for, prior to me coming on board, she was a champion for better health benefits. Better benefits overall. And she fights for the employees and always has. And so, you know, kudos and hats off. And I want to give her flowers. I believe you should give people their flowers when they're living. But we just want to say a special thank you to Councilwoman Dr. Deborah Fisher for trailblazing, breaking up the ground here in the city of Grovetown, becoming the first black woman to be elected to the council. She also, prior to being elected on the city council, she was talking to me and she was sharing with me that, you know, she was always active in the community. And before she again became on the city council, she was she sat on the planning commission. She and she was the first African-American woman to serve on the planning commission. And so, you know, she was trailblazing and making the way and has motivated and inspired others to do the same.
She was making it happen.
Yeah, she made it happen. She made it happen. And so, yeah, we're going to bring some more women on. And so now let's kind of segue and I'll let you talk a little bit about, since it's Women's History Month, the women in your life who have had an impact in your life?
The woman that had the most impact in my life is my mom. And I say that because, like we talked before, I came from a single parent family and the mom was the matriarch of the family. I mean, she ran everything. And I don't fault her. Like they say, a woman cannot teach a man things. But my mom, she did a good job with me.
Yeah.
She did an outstanding job with me because when mom spoke, Sterling listened. And it gets me sort of teary-eyed right now just talking about it because my mom was everything.
Yeah.
She was everything. And I used to, like, you know how your friends, when you're small, they'll ask you stuff like, hey, where's your dad? Where's your dad? And I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
So I would go home and I would ask my mom. And she would say, don't worry about that. You have everything in this house that you need. And she said, and what you don't have, she said, I'll go the extra mile to get it for you.
Wow.
And that's what she did. I mean, she fed me, clothed me every day.
Yeah.
I mean, she just took care of me. She did it all. And I still, like I said, a lot of things that I do, I'll see it now that it's my mom has like the same characteristics. I got a lot of that characteristics from her. And not that like there's you saying characteristics that you pick up from your mother. I don't consider that a bad thing because like I said, my mom was a strong, powerful,
yes,
short woman because she was real small. And she used to always tell me when I got to be about the seventh or eighth grade, she said, just because you're a little bit taller than me, don't think I won't put you in your place. And I fear, I didn't fear my mom, but
you
I respected her to the point where I knew not to do anything out of character towards my mom. And to fast forward that, as I got older and I was in the military, I was grown. I consider myself grown. I was grown. I would go home on what we call leave. And my mom would say, lockdown takes place at 10 o'clock. And I was like, Mom, lockdown at 10 o'clock. And I was like, why? She said, I tell you what. She goes, I do lockdown at 10 o'clock. She said, you need to be in this house at 10 o'clock. She said, afterwards, you can go back out of the house, but I need to see you prior to 10. She said, now what was funny about this lockdown thing, she said, now if you show up here at like 10:01, 10:02, she said, I don't know where you're going to go, but don't come back here because you missed lockdown. And everybody was saying, hey, but you're grown. I was like, I knew I was grown, but that's my mom's house.
Yeah.
And Mom put down the law, put down the rules. I call them laws of her house. And I listened to my mom because, like I said, my mom was my everything. And in order to get my younger nieces and nephews to stay there to to understand that, hey, when that they were her grandchildren, that when she speaks to listen, I had to follow the rules.
Yeah.
I had to be, okay, if mom says something, I'm going to do it. And with no ill will, frowning of the face, anything. But like I said, my mom, she raised me. She taught me everything that she could as a woman mm-hmm. of how to be a man. And I say I turned out very well. And I thank my mom. I love my mom. I miss her dearly to this day. Mm. And like I said, that was just my mom. My mom is my everything, or was my everything. She still is my everything.
Yeah. Beautiful lady. Short in stature, but strong. A strong woman. That all the kids, you know, turned out great. All the kids, you know, have turned out well. And, you know, she locked down. And I remember visiting one time and it was like 10:01 and she had the lock on the gate. She had to change. She had the gate locked down.
Yeah. She literally right. Yep. When lockdown was, everything yep. was locked
she
up.
She had the gate locked, was chained
front
up.
Door locked, everything locked.
And so we ended up having to go to Sterling Sisters and spend the night. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful lady. She loved her grandkids. She had this cuckoo clock. Mm-hmm. She had this cuckoo clock and it would come out every hour and it would say cuckoo. And I remember when the boys were little and she would always tell them, you know, just sit, stay right there and come get me when he comes out the cuckoo. And they would sit right there and they would watch that clock. Mm-hmm. And when it would cuckoo, they would call for her to come to see it cuckoo. But that was her way of keeping them in line and keeping them in check. So powerful. Thanks for sharing that. I would have to say, you know, again, first and foremost, my mom. My mom is my rock. She's been my biggest supporter always. You all got to hear from her last week. She's just very, very gentle, very kind. People often mistake her, you know, her timidity for weakness. But she's not a weak woman. She's a strong woman. She's lived through and endured some stuff that, you know, that it would have killed the average person. And she's a very wise woman, full of wisdom. You know, even when you're wrong, you know, she can tell you that you're wrong in a way that, you know, you just got told off, but you don't even realize that you just got told off because she, you know, she told you in such a loving and kind way and, loves her grandkids, the best grandmom. The kids will say, Granny makes the best grits or Granny makes the best tea. You know, Granny makes the best this, Granny makes the best sandwiches. Loves her grandkids. All of her grandkids, her great grandkids. Just a phenomenal woman. Coming up and during a time in the era, I remember her working in the factory, all night, and you know, coming home, and still, you know, seeing us off to school and making sure we're taken care of. And just a great woman. I love my mom, and so she's kind of the person that. You know, I'm choosing to honor tonight. And then I would have to talk about my aunts, my mother's sister, who's gone on to be with the Lord. It's like, you know, aunts are like second moms. Mm-hmm. And so all of my aunts, you know, there's something special about each one of them. I have a special connection with each one of them. Remember growing up and coming up and spending time with each one of them. But I would have to say, you know, between my mother, my grandmothers and my aunts, you know, all of them modeled prayer. All of them, you know, taught me about the Lord and my relationship with my Lord and Savior, took me to church. And so they gave me kind of that spiritual foundation that, you know, it never left me. And so I think that's so important. I thank them for that. I love them for that to this day. They have prayed with me. They have prayed for me, and they have taught me. They taught me how to pray, and you know, how to lean and trust upon God. And so, I really appreciate that in them. And there's so many other women, you know, that have inspired me in my walk as well. And, you know, it's just, it's too many to just call names. You know how to say, don't start calling names, because if you start calling names, you're going to end up, you're going to forget somebody. And so I don't want to forget anybody. But yeah, my mom, my grandmoms, both of my grandmothers have gone on to be with the Lord. My mother's sister, my aunt's gone on to be with the Lord. And my other aunts are still here. My father's sisters are still here, but just phenomenal women in my family who are strong women, who were an example, who were a great example for me and all of the other, young women in my family. And, you know, just want to shout out to them and thank them all for all that they've done, for the example that they've, been before me and all the other, you know, cousins in the family, nieces in the family, and showing us what a woman looks like, you know, what a woman's supposed to look like and how a woman's supposed to carry herself and how a woman's supposed to take care of her family and, you know, how a woman's supposed to, you know, nurture and take care of her kids. So that's my story for Women's History Month.
Yes, I mean, I've met a lot of the women from her family, and they are they're genuine. They love me. They treat me as if I'm a part of the family, and they all have their own individual distinct characteristics about them, and they just, like I said, they're a joy to be around.
Yeah,
and they just make me laugh, and they make me feel real welcome and good when I'm around them. And I'll just add that she has a great women in her family are well, very well, and they're highly respectable.
Yeah.
And another woman in my life that to segue off of that was my grandmother.
G-Mom.
Or I used to call her G-Money.
G-Money.
And which is so interesting about that is she was blind.
Yeah.
And she's never seen me in her life.
Wow.
And when just being around G-Mom was like, G-Mom would tell me the history of the family, the history of how we evolved from Florida to Delaware and all the people there that lie in between. But G-Mom was cool. I used to call G-Mom was cool because G-Mom knew everything. She knew everything that was going on, and she always kept you in the loop, and she always gave you, I call it that smooth G-Mom advice that would always make you think. And what was so special about G-Mom to me is she always would say, they would call me by my nickname. I'm not going to be really put it out there. But she would always say, you all right? and I would always say, yes. This is when I was about 14, 15 years old. I would say, yes. And she would say, you're lying. she would just say, you're lying. I would say, I'm not lying, Grandma. She said, yes, you are. And then I'll come true and tell her, yeah, something's going on. And she would say, what do you need? And I would just, it would be like little silly stuff. Like I'd have a flat tire on my bicycle or something like that. And she would say, well, what do you need to fix it? And you know how you replace the inner tube and stuff like that. She would say, boy, go get the inner tube. She would go into her little money bag. And this was what's interesting about my grandmother. Like I said, she was blind, but she knew how every bill was.
Yeah.
She would have like a little tear, a little fold somewhere. Yeah.
You couldn't cheat her.
No, it wasn't. You weren't doing no
cheating. You weren't going to cheat G-Mom.
You weren't cheating G-Mom. That's why I started calling her G-Money.
Yeah, you weren't going to cheat her. That was amazing to me. I remember when she sent somebody to get her something to eat one time and came back and they told her that she had like this is $10, but they really gave her a $5 bill to mess with her. And she was like, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. That ain't no $10 bill. And I I was like, oh my God, how did she know that?
And that's what, like, when she did that with the little money thing, that's when I started calling her G Money. And another thing that was, this happened to me once with my grandma. Like I said, I was in the military, and I came home, and I had been on leave for a little while before I came home, before I got home. And I came in the house, I did my little run through of all the little people in the house, speaking with them, hugging on them, all that. And I went to my grandmother, and I would always hug her. That's all I would talk to her, and I would hug her. But this time, like I said, I'd been on leave for a little while, so I had a little bit of hair on my face. And I hugged my grandma, and she touched my face, and she went off. She said, "Who's this imposter coming over here thinking they're trying to be my grandson? This is not my grandson." And I was like, I was sort of startled. I got scared because G-Mom couldn't see, but G-Mom had a pistol.
She had a gun.
She had a
she
pistol.
She did have a gun.
And she started going for that pistol. So I was trying to get up out of there.
Oh, my God.
For somebody who couldn't, was blind, G-Mom could shoot, though. She could shoot pretty good. Because I guess it was she just followed the sound, and she would shoot. But what threw her off was she had always met me. I would be clean-shaven.
Yeah.
But this time I had hair on my face. Even though I had still had the same voice, she thought somebody was trying to play a trick on her. So I knew from then on that, hey, I'd say I would greet Grandma, and she would always touch my face. That's another thing she would always do. She would always touch my face, and that's what threw her off. She touched my face, and I had hair on my face, and she had never touched me before on my face where I had hair on my face.
Yeah.
And that was a learning moment for me, how in tune she was with me. And G-Mom used to always send me to the store for her. And this was cute about her, because she would send me to like five or six different stores to buy different things from each store. And I thought it was so, I just call it older people in their ways, because I said, can't I just go to one store and get everything? She's like, nah, you got to go here to get this, here to get that, here to get this. And I would do it, and she would always sing, and the last thing she would always say, and stop by church and bring me back some chicken. And I would crack up laughing. I would say, Grandma, why you always like church's chicken? She said, that was just her. Every time I would come there, I would do that at least once or twice the time I was there. And I loved it, because it was that bond, because then I would sit down with her and eat the chicken with her, and she would talk to me. It was just, it's just that love thing.
Yeah.
The love of my grandma. And like I said, and she lived with my mom. So, you know, that had to be a house full of excitement when I was around them two anytime. And like, it was just a joy just sitting down and just listen to them talk to each other, how they interact with each other, and how they would talk to me. And no matter how old I was, I always felt like a child when I went back around them, because like I said, that was my grandma. And that was my mom. So they always see you as a child. So I was like, like I said, that was a respect thing and a love thing that I had for my grandma and my mom.
Yeah, yeah. G-Mom was something else, boy, I tell you. Again, a beautiful lady. They were so much fun. They were funny. They were so much fun. They were full of wisdom. And, you know, I remember one time when we went to get her something to eat, and she opened up her plate. And I remember Vashon reaching his hand like he was getting ready to get a piece of her chicken or something. And she hit his hand. I was like, oh my God, like, how did she know he was reaching? So, you know, it was just amazing. It was so amazing. So, yeah, thanks for sharing, Sterling. I'm like you. It brought back some memories and made me kind of teary-eyed as well. But thanks for opening up and being transparent and vulnerable and sharing all that. So, look, like I said, this show is kind of a segue. We wanted to kick off the rest of this month. We wanted to talk about the women in our lives and just share a little bit about them and honor them. And in this Women's History Month, and we're going to dedicate this entire month to talking to women. So next week, we're going to be talking to Miss Betty Kelly. And she was back marched in some of the civil rights. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about that. Yes. And I mean, I'm really excited about that.
Firsthand experience with the civil rights movement.
Really excited about that. So look, we pray that you guys have a great week. We've got some exciting stuff this weekend. We're heading into our high school, the Grovetown Warriors. Yeah. They made it to the state championship. And so we're going to be heading down to Macon, Georgia on Friday to go support the home team here. And we're hoping, local high school.
This town.
And I'm hoping that they're going to bring that championship back. So whatever you guys do this weekend, do it in love. Do it full of life, and do a lot of it and have a great time and enjoy life. And thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned afterwards for some information on how you can connect with us on social media. We'd love to hear from you guys. And if you're interested in being on the show, go to BashaniRadio.com. Click on the link where you can fill out the comment section there to be on the show. We'd love to hear from you. And as we close out, we want to leave you with our marriage mantra. And it goes a little something like this. The more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.